What's up, everybody? Welcome to another episode of Double Tap. We are episode 9 today, March 23rd, 2015. I mentally sometimes am your co-host Dave, and with me as always is my homeboy
Tony. How's everybody doing today? I know I'm not feeling all there today like Dave every day. I mean, yesterday.
Tony's having a little bit of life lag right now.
I just got off the jet.
He's had what the Destiny and other RPG players would be considered a grind in the real life when it comes to the job.
I just got addicted to jet, and you know, you use it too many times, you gotta go see the doctor, so I'm hoping good old Doc Brown can get me settled down.
Doc Brown? I think Doc Brown's more of a time specialist than a physical specialist. Like, Tony, you gotta do something about your kids.
You gotta do a lot about that, buddy. But anyways, man, let's hop into what you're playing, Dave. What's in your box?
Grinding on Destiny still. They had the Iron Banner this week, and it's going on until tomorrow morning. So if you haven't been doing it, you're screwed on getting anything good unless you... I mean, I don't know. I don't want to say screwed because you could grind it out for the next few hours and try to get to at least level 3 or 4 on the Iron Banner standing. But I've been doing it just like a couple of hours a day throughout this week, starting on like Thursday or Friday. And I finally got the gear and stuff that I wanted to get. And I will probably grind that out until tonight when my new favorite game of the week is going to come out.
What is the Iron Banner? What is that?
Okay, so on Destiny, you have the PvP mode, which is the Crucible. But the Iron Banner is a little bit different because what it is when you go into the Crucible, you are at a base level for all your stuff. All your stuff gets capped, like your gun damage and the effects of your abilities and all that stuff. But on Iron Banner, everything is unlocked. So all your gun abilities, all your character abilities, everything is the level that you're playing at. So let's say you go into the Iron Banner as a rookie character and you have a gun that can deal out 250 points of damage. Where if you go against someone like me who's maxed out, my gun deals 331 damage, you're pretty much screwed every possible way. It's very experience centric. So the more you have and the stronger you are, the better you're going to fare in the Iron Banner.
Oh, nice.
So, yeah, it's basically just better off for those who know what they're doing by now and who have the experience to be in the higher rank, like with the better guns or whatever. So even if you're at a max cap level, like 32, and you go in with a weaker gun, 9 times out of 10, the person who's got a stronger gun than you is going to fare better, so... That's pretty much Iron Banner in a nutshell. And the vendor at the tower for Iron Banner, every time the Iron Banner shows up, he'll have a different set of gear and weapons for you to earn, which is the incentive of playing Iron Banner, because most people will be like, oh, screw that. Why am I going to play when someone stronger than me can beat me? You know what I mean? Well, it's to get stronger, because the gear that the Iron Banner vendor has is currently... one of the strongest sets of gear you could get. Like, normally in Destiny, to get stronger, once you get past level 20, the goal is to get pieces of armor that has a certain amount of light points attached to it. So right now, the only way to get to level 32 and to max out your level is to get pieces of armor that can get 36 points of light. Well, the Iron Banner vendor, he has, like for the Warlock, he has chest gear and feet gear or boots that can get up to 36 levels of light. And it's not exotic gear. The exotic gear in Destiny, you could only wear one piece at a time or have one exotic weapon at a time. So the gear in the Iron Banner is of legendary status, which means you can have as many as you want, but they still get you up to 36 points of light. It's all very complicated if you don't know how to play Destiny. If you've never played Destiny, you don't know what's going on, that's all just going to seem like Japanese to you, or if you speak Japanese, gibberish. But it's you know, something to give you, you know, time to waste on and, you know, just earn for whatever's bragging rights more than anything. I got what I wanted, and my character looks like he's a freaking gilded statue now. So, but yeah, that's what I was doing. It's almost over. So, yeah, I'm going to be moving on, like I said, after tonight at midnight.
Right on. Yeah, then you're going to be playing that good old Bloodborne then, huh?
Oh, yeah. You better believe it, son. What about you? What you got? What you been playing on this last week?
Say, unfortunately, I haven't had too much time to game, but I did finish that Sleeping Dogs, the main campaign.
Mm.
I really liked how they ended the story there. I kind of figured it was going to end that way. I don't know if you can have different endings or not, depending on how you play, because you know you can do more triad missions or more cop missions, depending on which way you go. But I don't know if the ending changes or not. I would assume it probably ends the same way, but maybe...
No, it actually, there is different endings to that from what I remember.
So I was pretty happy with my ending. So, and then I started playing the DLC, the Nightmare in North Point, and that one's kind of corny, but it's not too bad.
But what was that about?
That one, you start out and you're on a date with some chick, and then you're seeing some movie, and then these like zombie people start appearing. It seems like they're trying to do something different, kind of like Red Dead did with the Undead Nightmare, you know, because, you know, they didn't have any zombies in the main game, and now you got these. And they're not really zombies, they're more like ghosts, I guess.
Right.
It's kind of weird, but yeah, it's different. I only played about 30 minutes of the DLC. And like I said, it was really corny. The you can tell when they're attacking, you know, because it's more like a quick time event, and their fight scenes with those, you kind of counter and then mash the buttons when you need to. And that's really the only game I had time to play, so that's all I got for you for what I've played this week. So hopefully next week I might take a day off next week from work and get some game time in, but I really don't see that happening anytime soon.
Yeah, I'm definitely going to be having some different stuff. Well, at least one thing different to play this next week, so I'm looking forward to that.
Right on. Well, let's hop into the news. One unfortunate thing is security breaches, and Twitch, they announced that they had a security breach. So to be proactive, what they did, they expired everyone's password and stream keys. And what your stream key is, if you use OBS, or I forgot the other one, there's a couple other programs you can use, and you have to put your stream key in order to stream under your username. So they made those all expire. So if you use those, you're going to have to re-log in to Twitch. And they also disconnected your Twitter account and your YouTube account. And so when you log into Twitch, you're going to have to put in a new password. And you'll be prompted to change it right away, of course. And then you're going to have to reconnect to all your accounts. They're going to give you a new stream key. And then you have to go back into OBS or XSplit, the other program I was thinking of. And you put your stream key in there, and then you'll be able to stream again. So if you've been having issues with Twitch, it's because there's a-holes on the internet that breached their security, and now they had to practically reset everything. So that really sucks. It kind of, you know, pisses everyone else off. I don't know why people are trying to hack into Twitch. There's not really much that they can get from you from Twitch unless you're a big-time streamer, and even then they'd have to hack more than likely your PayPal or something, you know? I don't think people pay directly into your Twitch. I don't know how that works that well, but...
That's a dick move.
Yeah, definitely a dick move. There's been two dick moves back-to-back weeks now.
always nice to hear about more dicks moving around.
Right.
Wait, what? What are we talking about?
I don't know, but moving on. next thing is Game of Thrones Episode 3. It's titled The Sword in the Darkness. They have a release date for March 24th for PC and the US PlayStation. And then for the 25th, it's going to be on the PlayStation everywhere else and Xbox. And then on the 26th of March for iOS. So that's kind of cool. It seems like that one's coming out sooner than the Borderlands, Tales from the Borderlands episodes are releasing.
Now, I did hear, or I read, that it's confirmed that the games, the Telltale games, will actually spoil the books.
Yeah, I've seen that too, yep. And then, speaking of dates and whatnot, Arkham Knight delayed again to June 23rd. I believe it was originally announced to come out June 2nd. Well, actually, they announced it at E3 saying it was going to be a 2014 game or a 2015 game.
Mm-hmm.
And then, like, a week later, like, oh yeah, psych, just kidding, and they delayed it. And then now they delayed it a third time, I believe this is. So Yeah. Right on, Rocksteady. Just keep on rocking.
You know what, though? The thing is, as long as they are making sure that it's being delayed for the right reasons, you know, I'm all about taking your time to make it right, especially if it's going to be the last installment of the Arkham series, which is what I've heard, that it's going to be the final one and it's going to end it out and everything else. So if that being said, yeah, fine. Take your time and do it right and build up the anticipation and make more people want it, you know?
Yeah.
Don't sit there and release it half-assed and then be like, oh, well, we should have done this or we should have done that. No, fine. Take your time.
Yeah, I'm all right with them taking their time to release a good game, but I'm not okay with them coming out and say, hey, this game's going to come out, and then 2 weeks later they say, oh, we're delaying the game, you know, because they knew right when they said that release date that it was going to get pushed back. You can't say they didn't know they were going to push that back, and then a week later they, you know, push the game back, and then again they're pushing the game back again. Why even give it a release date until you're certain that it's going to come out, you know?
Right.
Unless you're just trying to build up all this hype for this game, and then eventually people are going to, you know, stop caring about this game because you keep delaying it.
Well, at the same time, though...
Unless you're diehard fans, you know, those people are never going to go away, you know, they're just going to wait and wait.
The thing that I look at when it comes to that kind of scenario when they're like, oh, yeah, it's going to come out, and then they delay it for, like, another year or whatever. My thing is, like, we don't even have it yet, so I'm not going to get upset, you know... that it's getting pushed back like another year or more. But it's just like the same thing for me, like Kingdom Hearts 3. You know what I mean? I've been waiting on that for how many years since the last one came out? And it's been, sometimes it wasn't even talked about. There was times I thought it wasn't even going to come out. And now that finally within the last year or so, they confirmed that they're doing it. And it hasn't even been on E3 or nothing. Like they've released a couple trailers here and there, like a minute worth of gameplay. But it's like no one knows anything about what's going on with it. So I'm not getting upset at them for not releasing anything about it. I just know that it's coming and that's all I need to know. So, you know, just to be on the opposite side of the same token as you, I guess. That's just kind of how I look at it.
Right. It just seems like why put a release date on it, you know, until you know it's going to come out. You know, it's been well over a year since they announced the game was going to come out and they have to delay it. A third time. This is the third delay for the game.
True.
So I don't have any... They can announce that they're working on the game. They don't have to give a release date. Say, yes, we're working on Batman Arkham Knight and not give a release date, you know?
True.
That way we're not looking forward to it and then our hopes get let down or whatnot, you know? So with that being said, whatever. We're just going to move on.
Sounds good.
I don't know. I'm not so cheery today, man. I'm trying to get in a better mood.
My guy, you've been busting your ass trying to, you know, provide for not only yourselves, but for me on the games that you play because, duh, I live vicariously through you.
Right on. Speaking of games, man, let's talk about the games that are coming out tonight or tomorrow and later on this week.
Sounds great.
On the PlayStation 4, we have Slender the Arrival.
I want that.
I don't know what this game is. Tell me about it. Do you know anything about it?
Slender?
Yeah. Yep.
It's only been like one of the most talked about, memed, videoed, cosplayed, and let's play games for like the last couple of years. Slender, the Slender Man was a myth. It was like one of those...
I've heard of the Slender Man, but I don't know what it is.
Okay. Good God, I'm trying to think because I don't know the story of it. All I know is like the original game, you had to find, I want to say it's like 8 pages, and each page told you a little bit of your situation or what was going on with the Slender Man. But it's the Arrival is an adaptation of Slender Man. And it was developed by Victor Surge, I believe. They're developed in a collaboration with Eric, quote-unquote, Victor Surge Knutson. Knutson? Knutson? I don't know if it's A silent. I don't know. Anyway, it was you had to pick up 8 pages in order to get through. And if you saw Slender Man, you died, basically.
Oh, but wow.
It's supposed to be, like, really kind of intense because it's all first person view and you're in these woods and you're by yourself and you have this flashlight. People played it on the Oculus or played it with the Oculus Rift. My favorite.
So it's a horror game.
Yeah, basically it's a horror game. That kind of puts you in the shoes of a defenseless person. Like you can't fight back. You can't do anything. You're basically running. And one of my favorite YouTubers, Markiplier, he's done several episodes about it. But I want to try it for myself because it looks really creepy. I don't, mind you, I'm one of those people who never get creeped out or freak out on games. Like, and if I do, the moment is so tense that I can't help but be engulfed in that world. Like, the very first time I ever jumped at a game was the very first Resident Evil when the freaking dog jumped through the window.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Scared the shit out of me when I was young because I'd never played anything like that. You know, before that, it was all Mario and Sonic and blah, blah, blah. But that was just a really tense moment. Then the last time that I jumped after that was Dead Space. And the very first time a necromorph creeped out from behind me through a freaking air duct, I actually jumped a little bit and I was like, oh shit, you know? And so that, but like games and movies and whatever, even like haunted attractions, they don't get to me. But after seeing a lot of people's reactions, like my favorite videos are reactions from like Slender and stuff like that. So watching these people freak out, I was just like, man, you know, I could probably breeze through that. So I just kind of look at it as a personal test to myself to not jump or not freak out or whatever. So that, yeah, that's going to be one that I'm definitely going to look forward to playing.
And then that'll come out on the Xbox One on the 25th, comes out on PlayStation 4 on the 24th. We have for the PlayStation Vita, Damascus Gear Operation Tokyo. Then Episode 2 on Life is Strange for the PlayStation 4 and Xbox One on the 24th. Then we have the Borderlands, the pre-sequel, the Claptastic Voyage, the DLC. That's going to be included in the Handsome Collection, which also drops for the Xbox One and the PlayStation 4, which comes with Borderlands 2, the pre-sequel, and a whole lot of DLCs, which is going to be my pick of the week.
Wasn't there some... Did we already go over the surprise DLC that came out for Dragon Age?
No, nope. That was... I didn't see if it's on this list here. I'm sure we'll come across it, though. We'll keep moving down our list here. Oh, here it is. Jaws of Hakan, I think, how you say it. Jaws of Hakan. H-A-K-K-O-N.
Do you spell that with phlegm?
Yes.
Is it Hakan. Like Hakan? I don't know.
But yeah, so the Borderlands, the Handsome Collection, that's going to be my pick of the week.
Yeah.
That's going to be Xbox One and your PS4. And then, I'm pretty sure this is yours, Bloodborne.
Oh, yeah.
Now, this is your first digital purchase?
This is my first, like...
AAA game, I should say, AAA. Yeah,
this is my first highly anticipated, like... full-blown game digital download. I'm kind of old school. I like the disc. But I had some extra money on the network to spend, and I was like, okay, I could either spend it now and get that Zombie Army Trilogy, which I really did want, but I wanted Bloodborne even more, so I ponied up the extra 10 or 15 bucks that I was missing, required to buy it, and it's actually fully downloaded on my system right now. I'm just waiting for the unlock, which I believe should happen tonight at midnight. So I will probably be streaming that if you guys want to watch any of my streams on Twitch, which after I reset my freaking password, thanks to douchebags that hack shit, you can find me on Twitch under Wade Merc with a Mouth Wilson, and that's all ran together because I'm a jackass. And yeah, just look for that in any of my other archived videos.
Yep, and then we have Yorby for the PlayStation 4. Comes out tomorrow.
I hate those kinds of dogs. Oh, wait, that's a different thing, isn't it?
Yes, sir.
Okay, anyway.
And then on the 27th, which is Friday, we get Oddworld New and Tasty for the Xbox One, which is already out on PlayStation 4.
Yes, it is.
And then we mentioned, you know, we already mentioned these games last episode. We weren't sure when we were going to record, but we're just going over these again. So Also for the Nintendo 3DS and the PlayStation Vita, you get Lego Ninjago Shadow of Ronin. That's probably Dave's favorite game, right?
Probably my son Dave, yeah, but not me. No, I'm good.
Yeah, he went bonkers for that Lego game he got for his birthday.
Man, I'm telling you, they smashed it. Like, my son and the other two, they just killed that game in like a week or so.
Yeah, Lego games are real fun. You know, you can play them co-op and just waste time.
I wish they had an online co-op for those.
Yeah, that would be nice.
My wife and I, we platinum the Marvel Universe, the Lego Marvel game.
The superheroes.
Yeah, the Lego Marvel superheroes that we sat down together, we platinumed that out. And I wish that my brother could have been able to play, because my brother lives in Illinois, or he's going to live in Illinois here soon. But right now he lives in Michigan, and we play a lot of stuff online together. And he got it, and I got it, and like, oh, we can't figure out how to play this online. Well, it's because there is no freaking online co-op on the Lego games. So, I mean, which, it's nice that they even have the co-op, because you could couch co-op with, you know, your friends, loved ones, whatever. But, like, it'd be even nicer to have that option, you know, to be able to reach out and play online with your friends or whatever. So, I don't know. I feel like they could do an online Lego game anytime now. And they could do, I mean, there's so much material. They could do like a Marvel Universe online, like they had that, it was like one of the PS3 launch titles, I think, or something like that. There was a Marvel game. You know which one I'm talking about. I can't remember what the name of it is. But it was a Marvel game that had like a span over like so many Marvel characters, and you could go in like teams of four, and you went through different dungeons or whatever. God, I can't remember what the hell it was called.
Ultimate Alliance?
Thank you.
Okay, it took me a second to think of what you're talking about, yeah. The only thing I can think of was Marvel 2015, which was the MMO that's on PC.
Oh, no. Yeah, they could totally do like a Lego Marvel Ultimate Alliance, and it would be awesome. But yeah, they haven't so far, so Lego, get your shit together. Start making some better, you know, co-op games.
The last content we'll mention is the Fast and Furious DLC for Forza Horizon 2 drops on Friday. It's a more story-based, and I believe it's Ludacris' character that gives you the missions and whatnot. And it's free, so it's kind of cool.
Luda!
So if you have the game, pick it up. Try it out. I don't have it, so I will. I have Forza 5, I think, is the one I have. I don't have the Horizon 2, so.
I don't have an Xbox, so it's all good.
But yeah, let's... That's it for what's coming out this week. I'm sure there's other stuff coming out on PC and whatnot, but we've already mentioned why we don't list those games. So let's
there's so many of them.
Let's move on to this is our suggestion podcast for Medieval Times. I don't think we mentioned that earlier, but
medieval themed, a lot of stuff that is just medieval themed, because we're not
getting technical with it. It's not
right. We're not gonna be like, oh, you know, just our personal history of medieval times. No, it's gonna be like, you know, movie, TV.
Not the actual time period medieval times, but what we consider to be medieval themed.
Right, things that were inspired by the medieval era.
When we play it, we think medieval thoughts.
Yeah, we get medieval on that ass. That's what we do.
Right on, right on. Was that Black Knight?
With Martin Lawrence?
Yeah.
I mean, you can count that.
Right.
It's technically.
I mean, I think we mentioned that in our time travel one, but.
Okay, whether or not he actually time traveled or had a severely bad concussion, I don't know. Maybe he technically died for a while because he fell in some water and then came back out.
It's true.
I don't know.
And but he can't swim.
And he can't. I mean, clearly, it was like 2 feet of water and he was freaking out. So. But why don't we go ahead and start with movies? What's on your list? What would you have watched or liked to watch or have watched that would fall in that category?
The first one I think of, this is like the biggest one I think everyone would think of, and correct me if I'm wrong, Lord of the Rings. The main trilogy, the first three movies that came out.
Yeah, that's a pretty good pick. I would definitely put that under that category, just because, you know, the horseback riding and the swords and the armor and knights and what have you. So that definitely, and whenever I think medieval theme, I think, you know, wizards and knights and kings and queens and all that stuff. So I would say that definitely falls into that category.
And I remember that coming out right about the same time as the Matrix trilogy, I think, somewhere close to that. And the one guy that does the Agent Smith or whatever. I can't think of his name, but he's in the Lord of the Rings. I'm like, man, this guy has got to be a busybody right now.
Hugo Weaving.
Yeah, that's all he was doing was making movies.
And then he did V for Vendetta, and that was pretty good, too.
Yep.
What else you got?
Beowulf.
Yes. I am Beowulf! That was a beast.
Yeah. I mean, there's plenty of other movies. I mean, what you got for your movies? I'm sure we're going to run into some of the same, so.
Three of my favorite all-time medieval-themed movies is going to have to be Conan the Barbarian, Conan the Destroyer, and Red Sonja. And
right on.
Yes, it's no coincidence that it's all three Schwarzenegger. But they were just great. I mean, like, he definitely defined what it was like to be the epitome of masculinity for that kind of a time frame. Other things that I've actually personally enjoyed, and people are going to say, well, that doesn't count, but if you think about it, it does. I would say Army of Darkness. And I know the main character, Ash, in his world was, you know, back then the modern time area, but he got transported back to the Dark Ages. You know, he got teleported through time, through a portal, then he got put back where King Arthur and Eric the Red were fighting against each other, and they had a freaking pit with demons and stuff. So, yeah, it was, I would consider that. They even had a wizard or a wise man or whatever that told Ash the words that he screwed up and brought, you know, brought the Army of Darkness to their kingdom. So, yeah, I would definitely count that. Then I got Monty Python and the Holy Grail.
The Knights That Say Nay.
Yeah, how could you not include that, though, you know? It's just a flesh wound. It's a classic.
Yeah, that was a great movie.
Dragonheart, that's an older movie. That I saw when I was a kid, and that was Sean Connery doing the voice of, I want to say his name was Draco, Draco the Dragon in that movie, and Dennis Quaid was the main character other than that, and they were basically on opposite ends of the spectrum, because Dennis Quaid was a dragon hunter, and Sean Connery was a dragon, and he was the last of his kind in that movie, and it was really good. I'm not going to spoil it. If you've never seen it, go watch it. Dragonheart, classic. And after that, I'll probably say, if I had to pick between First Knight and the King in Kid Arthur's Court, I'd probably go First Knight, just because it was more medieval-esque, you know, like it was an actual movie about that time period. So First Knight, Richard Gere, Sean Connery, and I don't remember the chick who played Marion or whatever the hell her name was in the movie.
Yeah, no, and I know one movie that I like that's definitely not in the medieval time period, but I think medieval times is that Reign of Fire one, just because, you know, the dragons and whatnot. I kind of,
you know, it's kind of okay. If you want to look at the way the movie was set up, it is Dark Ages esque,
right?
Know what I mean, because it's in a, I want to say it's like post apocalyptic, but it's like they got their asses kicked back to the medieval times. You know,
right?
What I mean?
Yeah, yeah.
It's like they didn't have a whole lot in the ways of modern technology. And they were just kind of living off the land and doing whatever they could, and then fighting freaking dragons. So yeah, I would probably count that.
It's definitely a good movie. You should watch it. That's why we're doing this, is just to give you suggestions on what.
Well, didn't they live in a freaking castle?
Yeah. Yep.
They were living in a castle fighting dragons. So yeah. Screw you if you don't think it counts, because I think it counts.
Right.
So. I take it back. I'm sorry, baby. I didn't mean
that. But I don't really have anything for music. I mean, it's kind of hard to think of any.
The music from the movies we suggested. That's about the music. From the music. And I'm sure Game of Thrones and I'm sure Lord of the Rings has great soundtracks.
I mean, the Skyrim soundtrack is really good. I have the Skyrim soundtrack on my iPod and I listen to it at work. It's really good, so.
Why don't we go into games then, since you went ahead and mentioned that. Why don't you continue off with Skyrim?
Oh, yeah, right on. Skyrim, great game. I mean, there's much I can't say about it. I mean, everyone by now has played it. I would assume you've played it.
I started to play it, but then I took an arrow to the knee.
Why? Why, Dave?
Know. It just happened.
Oh,
I was standing there freaking arrow came out of nowhere. It took me out in the knee.
Have you seen the Skyrim intervention on YouTube?
No.
Oh, if you get a chance, you guys should check out I'm pretty sure it's called Skyrim Intervention. It's on YouTube.
It sounds hilarious.
It's great. You should watch it. But there's a lot of good references in there, and the guy's talking to the one guy. He's like, you should go out and walk more. And he's like, I walk from, I don't know where. He mentions a couple places in the game. And he's like, you know you can fast travel, right? And he's like, fast travel's for pussies.
Nice.
It's really good. My buddy at work recommended it to me. He's like, you really should watch that Skyrim Intervention. So I watched it, dude. I couldn't stop laughing. It's really good.
I might check that out.
A really good PC game that I used to play all the time with my brother was called Heroes of Might and Magic. It's a turn-based strategy game. I believe Ubisoft owns the rights now, and they're releasing it now. They're up to like Heroes of Might and Magic 6 or 7 by now. So you get that on Steam. Really good. You got dragons. You got your castle. You build them up. It reminds me a lot of maybe Clash of Clans or Kingdoms and Lords on the Windows phones and whatnot.
Now, I've never played any of the entries in the series, but I know you and your brother have. What about Diablo?
Yeah, Diablo's real good, yeah.
Okay.
I mean, I don't know if... I mean, you fight... I guess, yeah, because it's really not modern, so I guess you could consider that medieval times. I didn't think of it when, you know, until you just now mentioned it. I really didn't think of that as medieval times, so, but yeah.
But, I mean, don't you go from, like villages where all the houses are, like, sticking hay and,
right, yeah, yep.
You know, and all that stuff. So, like, I didn't play the third. I actually just admitted I didn't play any of them, but I know I watched you play the second one, and I remember you, like, looting for gold and wells and stuff like that, and... you had like armor and swords and all kinds of shit. So that's just what I thought of just from memory from what you tried to show me. I just couldn't dig it. I remember you was trying to, oh, this is awesome. You know, you look for this and do that. And, da, da, da. And I was like, yeah, cool. Hey, there's Final Fantasy VII. So I know you are the Diablo player out of my closest friends. So I would refer to you on that topic.
Yeah, and I was sad to never see Diablo 2 make the console. You know, it was always on PC and that was it. But, yeah, that was kind of sad.
I think along with the same kind of, well, it's more, you know, from the cover art and the gameplay that I've seen people rave on about was the Dark Souls and the Demon Souls game, or games. I've heard endless amount of compliments, which is actually going into the creator of my going to be new favorite game here of the week, Bloodborne. And all three of those games are made by the same people. And I hear nothing but how damn near impossible it is to beat these games. Like, I hear they're so punishing, which is one of the reasons that I wanted to do Bloodborne is because lately the games that I've been playing and beating just seem way too easy. Like, you know, I smashed The Order in a few hours, and the campaign for Destiny was super easy, and... this and that. So for me to hear that that this next installment, the spiritual successor to the Souls games, is going to be even harder, I was like, okay, I think it's time for me to step up as a gamer and try to see if I can nail this one too, because I've done a lot of other harder games in the past. So this one's going to be a highly anticipated one. But yeah, Dark Souls, Demon Souls, I would throw those in the medieval themed games. What else you got? You got anything else on the games?
Yeah, the Telltale Game of Thrones game.
Yes.
They say I've only played through the first episode and about a halfway through the second episode. So I think I'm gonna wait now until the whole season comes out, and so I can play through it all at the same time.
So you would definitely highly recommend people picking those up then.
Oh yeah, the first episode was really good. I think I might actually even wait to watch the rest of the new season that's coming out. The actual television show, because I know it takes place between, it spans across a few seasons. Like, it starts somewhere between the third season and then ends somewhere in this season that's going to be showing on TV. So I don't know if they're going to work the episodes in between, and I don't know how they're going to tie the characters into the game and the show. If that's the case, I might actually have to play it when they release, just so I don't spoil one or the other.
So here's the weird thing about this Telltale game is because the Game of Thrones was actually like literal books, and they weren't comics. So they took all the character inspiration and the look and everything else from the show. So I've never watched the show, never read the books, never played the games. But from your point of view, was the Telltale Games giving any spoilers or going off of the show, or was it more book centric, like how they did The Walking Dead? The Walking Dead games were based off of the world from the graphic novels and not from the show.
Oh, this was definitely more from the show. I mean, it starts right away from a certain point in the show that you'll know. And then in the book, there's a really main key event that happens in the book and in the show and in the game. Yep. And it's really iconic. So you'll know where, you know what I'm talking about, and they all kind of key in. So it happens in all three. So
like you suggested, you would probably have to wait in order to not spoil yourself or potentially spoil yourself, because this could all be stuff that they are keeping separate from the show. Like if you're going further ahead in the game, in the timeline, than what you would in the series, you could be potentially ruining things for yourself if they're taking it from the book that's ahead of the show.
Right.
So, yeah, that's actually probably a smart way of doing it, so that way you're not screwing yourself like, oh, I should have waited to watch this.
Yep. And it's like the one game they're working on for Xbox, that Quantum Break, where they're trying to mix live action with gameplay. That's kind of what I kind of think how they're going to – it would be cool if they did that with Game of Thrones, where they kind of, you know, they tie in the game with the actual TV show.
The thing about that idea is they actually – Sony actually started doing that way back on the PS1, because if you remember the cutscenes from the first Resident Evil.
Oh, yeah, they were actually
like live-action actors, and then they would cut into, you know, the gameplay and everything else. I always thought that was a neat idea.
Yeah.
So them potentially bringing that back or doing it better would be kind of cool for me.
But they're actually doing, like, an actual, like, TV show, like an actual 30-minute episode kind of thing where you actually watch it and then you go back to your gameplay kind of thing. So that's
cool.
Yeah, that's going to be kind of cool to see how they do that. I think it's Remedy's the developer behind that one, if I'm not mistaken.
I'll have to look into that too. A couple more mentions on the game side, and I'm going to get very literal with the theme. The games Medieval 1 and 2. When I was younger and they came out on the PS1, they were like a couple of favorites of mine. I just like the story. I like the character. The fact that you played as Sir Daniel Fortescue, and he was basically, for all intents and purposes, he was a bullshitter. He would go through town talking about his heroic exploits and this and that. And when I can't remember the name of the bad guy, all I know is I remember it starts with a Z, I want to say. He resurrected a bunch of, you know, zombies and stuff and try to take over this kingdom, and the king appointed Daniel Fortescue as basically the front man to lead the charge, and he got shot with an arrow through the eye and died on the first charge of battle. I mean, he didn't even have a chance. He went out like a chump instead of a champ. So they resurrected – well, he was resurrected. I can't remember the reason why. It's been so long since I played it, but he was resurrected and given a second chance at heroism. And he got to meet several of the heroes from the past, and it was just pretty cool. I loved the whole story arc. And then the second one was even cooler because they continued on, and it was just like, this poor guy doesn't get a year off, man. He got resurrected, fought, won, got put back to sleep, and then got resurrected again, and then had to go through a whole bunch of medieval shenanigans and different weapons and armor and whatnot. And then he even got put in the PlayStation All-Stars Battle Royale fighting game as a DLC character. I believe it was a DLC character. I know my kids ended up getting him, so I can't remember if I bought him for him or whatever.
Maybe he was an unlockable. Yeah, I haven't really played that much.
But they seemed to really like it. It was a lot of fun. I played it too with them as Kratos, mostly because he's just badass. And yeah, so there was that one, the medieval games. And then all the other one that I feel like is worth mentioning is Final Fantasy IX. That was a Final Fantasy that had a really medieval-centric or Dark Ages time kind of theme. Like, the Final Fantasies are always mixed in with a little bit of science and magic or whatever. But, I mean, one of the main characters was a knight, for God's sake. So, you know, he kind of seemed like that stereotype typical generic kind of night where he was like kind of big and muscle bound and he was not really all there in the head. But the rest of the characters were very kind of Princess Bride like, I guess. Like the main character Zidane, he was like a pirate slash thief, but he also had like this heart of gold. And then the main female character, Dagger, she was a princess, but she didn't like the life of a princess and she didn't want to do all this royal crap or whatever. So I mean, whenever, like I said earlier, when you come to like kings and queens and knights and whatnot, I title that as a medieval type theme or medieval inspired. So, and you rarely go wrong with Final Fantasy, especially the older Final Fantasy games. So that's just one of the other ones that I would throw out there. So, right, yeah, I'd say that covers the movies and games part. The TV suggestions are very limited, only because it's not a very popular theme when it comes to TV shows and stuff. But two right off the gate, I know, are two that you have watched. So why don't you go ahead and throw those out there.
Oh, Game of Thrones, which we mentioned for the Telltale game, but also for the TV show, of course. Really good. They're just getting ready to start the fifth season. So, yeah, go check those out. I don't want to spoil it because it's that good of a show where I really don't even want to mention anything in the first season because it's really good. You really want to watch this show. Of course, you want to be 18 or older because there's titties everywhere. And I think there's even some cocks everywhere. So look out for those unless you like those kind of things.
You had me at titties. Then you lost me at cock. So there's Game of Thrones, obviously, and I it's not that I wouldn't watch it, but I don't have HBO, so sadly I'm left out of the loop. Hopefully it comes to like Hulu or something like that, but I doubt it. I'm pretty sure it's gonna be on that HBO to go.
I know they have these places called the library, and you can check it out there. That's where I actually got it at.
What is the library?
It's this magical place with lots of these paper things. And they actually have some media there, too, like CDs and DVDs. Wait,
paper things. You mean bills?
Books.
Oh, but I knew it started with a B.
Right? You're on right track, man. You're almost there.
Starts with a B, ends with an S.
Right? Right on.
Some of them make you laugh. Some of them make you cry.
And then the other television show is on Netflix that I watched. It was Tudors. Have you watched this show?
No, I want to say I've seen something called Tudors on RedTube, but that might be a different thing.
I don't even know what RedTube is, but it doesn't sound like a good site.
Or Pornhub? P-Hub for short, I guess?
Oh, right on, right on.
It might be something different. Anyway, explain to me the Tudors, Tony.
Is it King Henry VIII? Anyways, he's a slut king, had multiple wives.
A slut king?
The slut king.
I'm sorry, I'm trying to picture what a slut king would actually be like.
But yeah, it is really just the history of him, and it's really good. So, and it's actually pretty accurate for the most part.
Is it that starring Jeremy Irons?
I don't know his name. I couldn't tell you.
The guy who did the voice of Scar in The Lion King, and then he was the bad guy in Die Hard with a Vengeance.
I don't even know that movie.
My guy.
I don't even know you right now.
That's what I'm feeling. Where are you right now? You've never seen the one Die Hard with Sam Jackson?
Who's that?
Bruh.
You're
going to make me start speaking modern. Bruh. With a U. Bruh. Anyway, yeah, I'm pretty sure that's Jeremy Irons.
Yeah. I don't know, man. You got Google right there, man.
I do have Google right there.
I'm just fucking with you, bro.
I'm pretty sure that's who that guy is, though. But yeah, so you said, now, okay, explain to me why anybody would even care to watch the Tudors, like if it's just the life and times of this one guy. Like, is there anything compelling about it? Like, what was something awesome or horrible that he did?
Oh, man, he's a slut king, so, I mean, he was killing people, too, so... I mean, he beheaded one of his wives. Kind of fucked up.
And wow, how many wives does he have?
And the henchman was, like, super drunk, so he couldn't fucking behead her right. So he had, like... Yeah, it was really fucked up. I can't even remember how that... I don't even remember how they... if someone else stepped in and fucking ended up chopping off her head or whatnot.
damn.
No, maybe it wasn't his wife. It was someone else, one of his people in his cabinet or whatever you want to call it. In his royal shit.
It says your boy, King Henry VIII, ruled for nearly 40 years.
Yeah.
What a boss.
Right?
No wonder why people would want to watch. I mean, like, you got to be some kind of a badass to be like, you know what? I'm going to rule forever, pretty much, until I die.
And that's pretty much what happened.
Wow, that's crazy. So wait, is the show still ongoing?
No, it's all wrapped up.
Was it just the one season or what?
No, there's... I don't know how many seasons there are, but there's more than four.
Huh. Well, one of the actors that I instantly recognize is Sam Neill, who was one of the main characters from Jurassic Park.
Oh, right on.
He was the not Jeff Goldblum, obviously, but one of the other main characters from Jurassic Park. I can't even freaking think right now because I've never even watched the show. But yeah, it looks like there's a lot of blondes.
Yeah, there's a lot of women in that show too, so make sure you're of age to watch it.
Gabrielle Anwar, she was one of the main characters from Burn Notice. So that's another one that I would recognize. But then Jonathan Rhys Meyers, I guess he played King Henry VIII. So that's kind of cool. He was in From Paris with Love with John Travolta, which was a good action
play. That was a good movie. That's a good movie.
And then he was just recently in the Dracula series that was on CBS, ABC, one of them, three-lettered networks. Maybe it was NBC.
Doesn't matter.
I can't remember. But it was actually a really good show, and they I don't know if they canceled it or if it's not coming on anymore or whatever. But, yeah, Jonathan Rhys Meyers, awesome actor, in The Tudors, King Henry VIII, Slut King. That's all I got for TV shows other than – the one other mention that I guess has just recently come out is called Gallivant. And I guess it's a musical / comedy series. I don't know. I got nothing for it. I got a little synopsis of it. It says Prince Gallivant is on a quest for revenge over the king who stole his one true love. Hooray. So it's freaking Monty Python meets Glee. And I don't know that I care.
Yeah, I don't think I care either.
But if you like Glee, sure, check it out. I like Monty Python, but mixing Monty Python with Glee is not something that is on my list of things that I need to see. So, yeah, I'm good there. For the rest of you, though, hey, if you like it, whatever floats your boat or sinks your ship, whatever. Moving on to our final category of suggestions under medieval themes, comics. For those of you who like to actually take the time to read when you get the free time, like I do hardly ever, let's go with a couple of things that relate back to the movie categories and my favorites. They actually do have a Conan and a Red Sonja comic series. Have I read them? No, I know of them. No, I haven't.
I've seen them in the comic book store. I've never read them.
Yes, I have. I've seen them on the shelves. Going on from there, Spawn the Dark Ages. Spawn has always been one of my favorite characters. He's just one of the epitomes of badassery. I mean, you can't say enough good things or cool things about Spawn. There's Iron Man Doom Quest, which was a Marvel series, you know, pertaining to the medieval theme. And there was another one. It was a Marvel one-shot called Black Knight Exodus, you know, revolving around the Black Knight. And it had the appearance of a medieval version of the mutant apocalypse. So that was kind of cool. Coming off of the Marvel side for just a moment, there was a couple of not honorable mentions, they were really good book series. From what a couple of my friends had told me was Batman Dark Knight Dynasty. Not to be confused with Batman Duck Dynasty, because I think that's a different thing, and it might not even really exist. Yeah. That's just speculation.
Right.
But, yeah, Batman Dark Knight Dynasty, and then Batman and Superman Alternate Histories, which, you know, obviously includes different variations of the two titular, I don't know how you say that word. All I know is it has the word tit in it. But titular characters, Batman and Superman, and different variations of them. My favorite book, though, my favorite comic to read with a medieval theme or Medieval Spire was Marvel 1602. And it took place during the Elizabethan era, which was preceded by the Tudor period.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
It's, you know, right there. It's like basically like, hey, the 80s and 90s, it's the same kind of thing almost. But it's almost all the Marvel heroes and medieval versions of themselves. It was this really good read. The events that happened were a result of something that happened from the future of the Marvel Universe. And I'm not going to ruin it because this is one that you guys, if you like superheroes, especially if you like the Marvel Universe, go and read this book. It's Marvel 1602, and it's a really good take on what our knowledge of the current Marvel heroes like Spider-Man, the Fantastic Four, and all those guys, and putting them back in a time that was like way simpler, no technology, none of this. And it was just a really good take on what our modern heroes would have been like back in medieval times. So it was really cool. It had a nice twist to the end of it. And yeah, that wraps up my suggestion.
You said 1602?
Yes, sir.
Isn't that a John Cusack movie?
No, I think that's 18. I don't know. You threw me off on that one. I know Room 1802, Club 69. I don't fucking know.
Right.
Yeah, but yeah, Marvel 1602. Good book. Go read that shit. If you can't read, learn to read.
And if you can't read, use Audible.
Or do that. Yeah, or get books on
this tape. Podcast brought to you by Audible. Use the code Audible. No, I'm just kidding.
It's been brought to you by Braille on My Body. Look for it.
Very nice.
Feel it.
But yeah. I got nothing for books really, unless you read the Game of Thrones books, the Song of Fire and Ice. And yeah. Like I said, I don't really have time to read, but I do use Audible. That's pretty nice. So I can listen to my iPod at work. So I have someone else read it to me.
Very nice.
Very nice.
So I wanted to go back into a little bit of one of the first things we talked about was the Batman third delay. What do you feel overall was a way better decision on a game that was delayed? Like, do you feel like there was a game that was delayed and it was a great idea, or do you feel like there was any games out there that should have obviously been delayed to make them better?
Sorry, I had a big yawn there. That's a good question. Some things we won't know because we're not behind the scenes, so we don't know what was going to be included in the game. So to answer that question, I really can't, but some games that seemed like they should have been delayed and weren't, you know, Halo Master Chief Collection. It's like they rushed that game just to get it out for the holiday season, came out, and they just now had the patch finally that got it to seem to be working. I don't know if it really is because I haven't tried it. So you're talking almost, what is that, 7 months later?
Jeez.
So, yeah, they obviously just rushed that out to get it out holiday season to get sales. So that's a game obviously should have been delayed. You know, Assassin's Creed Unity, they had that issue with the textures not showing up, people without faces. Mm-hmm. Things like that should have been delayed. Your game should not have to be fixed. You know, your game should come out and be ready to go, you know. Mm-hmm. I mean, those are the most recent things that I can think of for games that should have been delayed that weren't.
One for me would have definitely been The Order, because I feel like they could have...
And that game was delayed once, you know.
Yeah, and it was delayed, but they just didn't quite get there, like, to what everybody expected. And I feel like if they would have given themselves more time, had more testers, and had more feedback, they probably could have had it better, you know, than what the reaction and what the reviews were. Now, unfortunately, they do have a series of testers and feedback and everything else. And apparently it was enough in their eyes to be like, hey, this is going to be great. Let's push it out. But I feel like they could have probably done better and taken their time with it.
It doesn't matter.
Whatever. Potato, tomato.
This is casual, man. This isn't business here. We do this for fun.
Oh, shit. Then what the hell am I wearing this suit for?
Right?
Damn it. But, okay, well, that's cool. I didn't know your take. If you had a couple of games that you thought, and those were really good mentions.
Examples, yeah.
Examples, thank you, of right ones on that definitely should have been delayed. One last topic, and it's a quick one that, you know, we don't have to take a whole lot of time on, but I wanted to bring it up because it's been seeming to be a trend lately. And, of course, this is going to be a very biased opinion from everybody's point of view, but they've been doing a lot of remasters lately, the last year or so, ever since the Xbox One and PS4 came out. And with the most notorious, well, not notorious, but one that's been popping up over the last week that's been kind of getting a lot of attention on the Sony side has been God of War 3. And they have this remaster planned for it. And me personally, I'm a huge God of War fan. I love all things God of War. However, I feel like doing a remaster now is kind of unnecessary. And like I said, I love
especially with the PlayStation Now app, right? You can get
exactly. I'm sure you could find all the God of War games on the PlayStation Now app, and
go back. If not, I can manage to get it in there without having to do a remaster, you know?
Exactly. So I feel like time would be better spent doing a new installment. Make a God of War 4. You know, I'm ready. I'm definitely ready for a current gen God of War. However, I don't feel like it's time well spent or money well spent going over an adventure that we've already been over. Yes, there are ones that I would love to see and have, like the Modern Warfare 2 remaster. I have signed the petition for that myself and have recommended it to several people, and they have well over the base amount of what they said they needed to get this Kickstarter thing going. But that's me personally. You know, that's something that I feel like is almost needed because of the last couple of crappy installments of Call of Duty.
Right.
You know, that was like the best Call of Duty in my opinion ever. And there's a lot of people that I know personally that share that same opinion, that Modern Warfare 2 is the best Call of Duty other than...
Yeah, see, everyone has their favorites, you know, so...
Right, well, like, and I know there's also, like, it's 50-50 between the first Modern Warfare and Modern Warfare 2. I know a lot of people say the first Modern Warfare was the best absolute Call of Duty of all time, but I feel like...
It was when they hit their stride was the first Modern Warfare. Right.
And it was new, and it was very exciting because up till then, it was, like, all World War II stuff.
Yeah.
Which, you know...
Call of Duty 2 was a lot of fun, though. That was the first... That was my first online multiplayer game was Call of Duty 2. And that's what got me hooked on playing Xbox Live. I mean, I played a little bit of Halo 2, but I never played, on Xbox Live. I played all local. I never played, you know, multiple players. It was, a match of four, you know, whatever you can get on one console. I never got, you know, the 8v8 or anything like you could on Xbox Live.
And see, that's the thing. Like, I loved the first Modern Warfare, and that was my first...
Or 6v6, whatever the match is. I don't remember what the size were back then.
I'm pretty sure it was still 6v6.
But it was more than four players on, you know...
Right. And the first Modern Warfare was, like, the first online competitive, like, shooter that I ever played. But I feel like the reason why Modern Warfare 2, for me personally, was better is because... They took what they had from the first Modern Warfare, and then they perfected it, and then they gave you a whole bunch of shit to do, like the co-op missions you could do together, the new killstreaks like the AC-130 and all that stuff, like the classic killstreaks of,
357.
Yeah, sensor gun, helicopter, and what was it, the napalm or the dog. I can't remember
dogs,
what the original.
Right?
The dogs.
Yeah.
I think that was the original three killstreaks. That's awesome.
Or no, Chopper. It was Chopper in Modern Warfare. It was UAV or whatever they called it back then.
Yes.
Then it was some kind of airstrike, and then it was the helicopter.
The helicopter, yeah. Yep. Those were great, but then the addition of like the AC, like the player controlled killstreaks, like the AC-130, and then all that culminating up to the nuke. That, for me, was very iconic because the very first time I called a nuke in, it ended the game.
Yeah.
And I was just like, I am a god here.
Yeah, I was so mad. I killed myself on my first nuke when I was almost got my first nuke. I killed myself in my AC-130. I was laying out by a truck and I was shooting people in the AC-130. And I blew up the truck and killed myself. I had 24 kills. I was one away. I was like, "You gotta be kidding me!"
Heartbreak. And see, it's like the moments like that I remember. Like, even though you hate that, it's like, "Oh, I was right there." But it's a moment like that in that Call of Duty in Modern Warfare 2 where you experience stuff like that for the first time. You know what I mean? Like where in Modern Warfare the first one, you can't kill yourself with your own kill streaks. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But then like if you're circling the map of the AC-130 and you see a guy and you're aiming for him, but then he just so happens to be next to you, you're like, "Oh, no!" All but right. Then live, you're like, "Yes, I'm gonna nuke everyone."
Right.
You know? So it's like that for me is where they took that awesome formula and then they perfected it for Modern Warfare 2. So, you know, in a
very... Sorry, the neighbor's got a screaming baby, but go ahead.
You're fine. going very back to the beginning of this topic, like I said, it's going to vary for everyone whether or not you think particular remasters are necessary. Overall, I don't find them that necessary. Like, I think doing particular ones like The Last of Us, remastering it for the PS4 was a good move because that was like the last game that Naughty Dog did for the PS3 and it was huge. And for them to remaster it for the PS4 was brilliant because that was a game that could have definitely went beyond the boundaries. But it went beyond the boundaries of what the PS3 was capable of, and then making it for the next gen consoles was great because.
But to add on to that though, that was a good move too because a lot of people jumped ship though too. A lot of people jumped from Xbox to PlayStation, and that was, you know, they never had a chance to play The Last of Us, so that could have been their first introduction to playing
that,
it.
They could have been all 360. You know, for that entire time, and then when they came over the PS4, what were their options? There wasn't a whole lot.
I mean, but you could get Last of Us on PlayStation now, so that's another thing. It's like, but if they had time, you know, if they didn't have a game they were working on, I don't see anything wrong with it. But they've been doing remasters forever, you know, like Chrono Trigger they redid on the DS. You know, you'll see remasters all the time. You know, Mario Party All-Stars, or not Mario Party All-Stars, but Mario All-Stars. You know, they had all the classic Marios on one on SNES. So, I mean, you see it all the time, like Mega Man Collection on the GameCube. I have the Zelda Collector's Edition on the GameCube.
So. Yeah, but usually when you see stuff like that, it's usually all basically ports.
Right. Know? Yeah, it's not technically a remastered and better edition. I see what you're saying.
The first actual remaster that I remember that was actually really good and it deserved a remaster was like the Resident Evil remaster on GameCube, and then the Metal Gear remaster, the Twin Snakes, which was also on GameCube. Those to me were like a proper remaster. Like, not only did they bump up the graphics for updated graphics back then, but they added things into the game itself that was actually a really good addition. Like for the Resident Evil one, and for the obviously now see they did another Resident Evil remaster just a few months ago, but that wasn't to me like an actual remaster because when they did the remaster on GameCube, it was completely brand new. You know, it was way updated graphics and the gameplay, there was different elements like the whole burning of the zombies to make sure they didn't come back. That was a brand new thing back then. Now, when they just did it for the current, you know, the current gen consoles and stuff, it's been done because they did it back then on GameCube. Yeah, it looks better, and they gave you the option to take away the tank controls, but what really new was there that they haven't really done, you know, back when they remastered it the first time? So for me, I don't really count that as a remaster, and that's kind of one of those things that I feel like was it was cool that they did, but was it really necessary? No. Could they have spent their time and money doing something way better, like making a better version of Resident Evil 6 or making a better Resident Evil period? Yeah, I feel like they could have put their time and money into that. But I mean, if they're not really losing out on anything, sure, why not, you know, give the fans what they want. But at the same time, I'm one of those people who likes to move forward. You know what I mean? Like, I obviously love things from the past, and I am an old school kind of person. But at the same time, the way my mind works, I have to keep moving. I have to keep trying the new thing or going on to something more evolved. You know what I mean? Even if it's with 8-bit graphics.
Right.
So
speaking of next thing, for our next topic, I don't think we mentioned it, but we're gonna, for our next topic, our suggestion-based podcast, we're going to do fighting.
Our theme?
Yeah, our theme. It would be a fighting theme. Because next month we got Tekken 7, Mortal Kombat 10. So we got. So yeah, we'll do suggestions for either fighting, you know, movies, all that good stuff. So
yeah, that's going to be a real fun one. I have a lot of memories of getting my ass kicked and kicking asses in the old Street Fighter Turbo, and when the original Mortal Kombat came out, I remember the commercials like they were yesterday. So
I always love playing Killer Instinct, and when you'd land like a good combo or the Ultra combo, I'd be like, Ultra
combo breaker. Right. Yeah, Killer Instinct was another great one. So we will touch base on all of those on our next themed episode, which we're going to go ahead and start doing every 5th, starting after our 10th episode. So like the 15th episode, that's when we'll touch base on the fighting theme. And then we'll go, you know, 15, 20, 25, or whatever. If you can't do math, I'm sorry. I feel your pain because I'm not a mathematician. I hate math.
I'm not even here right now. There is no spoon.
There is no spoon, except for the one that I ate my cereal with this morning.
Speaking of eating, man, I'm starving right now, so I think I'm going to get hopping off here. We're going to do some sign-offs and all that good stuff.
Amen to that. So, yes, we're going to go ahead and take off. Thank you guys ever so much for listening to us again and wasting your time with us. You can find me on Twitter at Deadpool Orta, and then on Twitch, if you can get it to work. Again,
Wade. Change your password Wilson, now. Don't get hacked.
Wade Merck with a mouth, Wilson. And I have my stuff archived, and I don't know a whole lot about Twitch, but apparently they do get deleted after so much time has passed. So if you want to check out some ridiculous stuff, like especially with my Surgeon Simulator play, and again tonight I'll be streaming Bloodborne. I almost called it Dark Souls or Demon Souls or whatever, but yeah, foobar that anyway. Anyway, those are where you can get a hold of me at, or on YouTube under Goku Orta 5. I have some stuff on there from years ago and from the zombie game that just came out not too long ago that the name escapes me, Dying Light. Thank you, self, for reminding me. But, Tony,
right on. Where
can people get a hold of you at?
You can follow me on Twitter. I'm at Tony the Gamer Guy. You can follow me on YouTube at Tony the Gamer Guy. I haven't put up anything on YouTube in a couple weeks because I've been working my butt off. So, I apologize for that. But as soon as I get some time off of work, I will get some more videos up there. I'm still working on my next GamerScore video. I've acquired some more 64 and GameCube games. I'm looking to get some more SNES games. Did I say that right? Yeah, SNES games. So, yeah. Once I get more stuff, I'll make another episode of that, and we'll go from there. But, yeah, follow me there. I'm thinking about maybe making a Facebook group page, Dave, and then maybe we can get going on that. That way we can have people reach us there, send us messages and suggestions there. So I don't know if you got free time or whatnot, if you want to create a page and then send me a link or whatnot.
I am so illiterate when it comes to that shit, but I'm sure I can navigate through Facebook and find out how to do that, because I have way more friends on Facebook than I do anything else.
Right on. So
except for my head. My head, I have tons of friends, but none of them like me.
So if you don't get it figured out or whatnot, I'll get it done and then I'll shoot you a message or whatnot. But we'll get that figured out throughout the week. So
for sure.
I appreciate everybody listening and all that good jazz. Tune in next week. We'll talk about more video games. Video games.
Yep. I'm pretty sure I'll have plenty to say about Bloodborne. And you, sir, I can't remember. Did you say you actually are going to get your hands on the Handsome Collection for Borderlands?
I think so. I think on my way home from work tomorrow morning, I'm going to pick it up. So I don't know if I actually play it, but I'll install it. I reinstalled two Elder Scrolls Online on my PC, so the Tamriel Unlimited. So I might dive back into that universe.
Sounds good. Well, as always, you guys, thank you again for listening to us. And until the next time, have a good day or night or morning or manana or whatever the hell you're at.
Yep.
Or wherever the hell you're at. And we will see you next time.
Yep. Smack them cheeks together.